Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Now, divorce has been part of Irish society since its legislation in 1996. And over the years, the number of divorced individuals has risen in Ireland. But despite this increase, Ireland still has one of the lowest divorce rates in the European Union. The impact of divorce on children, of course, is a significant concern. Research indicates that children from divorced families can suffer from higher rates of depression and anxiety. But in the case of high conflict households, children can actually fare off better from divorce. The decision whether to stay together for the sake of the kids is quite a complex one. While some believe that remaining in a marriage until the children are a bit older can be beneficial, others argue that prolonged exposure to parental conflict can also be more detrimental than divorce itself. Now, the quality of current parental relationships and the level of conflict are kind of critical factors in determining the well-being of the children, as we all know. So I want to know about how things have changed in Ireland since divorce legislation. Are couples today opting for a divorce too hastily? Is the traditional notion of staying together for the sake of the kids less prevalent? And should the process of divorce be made shorter and more straightforward? Or would that encourage more divorces? Or is it even possible, by the way, to make it shorter? Because obviously I've been through a divorce and I know what the experience can be like, and it can be a very difficult and depressing experience, by the way. Now, I want to get your view on it. Are people separating and divorcing too quickly in Ireland? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. In the meantime, I'm going to be speaking to family law solicitor Keith Walsh. And if you have any questions in relation to separation and divorce, you can send them in and AJ will pop them up on my screen and I shall ask Keith those questions. So if you do have any questions, they can't be specific or personal, but you can ask a general question in relation to family law. And I will ask Keith Walsh those questions for you when I'm finished kind of talking to him, so to speak. Keith, lovely for you to join us. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Niall. Nice to be here.
Keith, I mean, the numbers of divorces have gone up, but we still only have the same amount of courts dealing with it. So I'm assuming the waiting lists are getting longer.
They are, but there's been a few more judges allocated to family law, and there's a bit of a kind of big bang coming in family law, and they're going to try and reform the courts, and that's in train at the minute. But there are still waiting lists, unfortunately, in the system. There's a big hole in the ground just beside the four courts. We're waiting for the new family justice building to go in. It's been promised for 10 years. We're working in kind of antediluvian or very, very unsuitable premises, really, for the circuit court and the district court for family law compared to the shiny new criminal buildings.
Yeah.
Or the buildings in the forecourt. So really, the premises aren't particularly in good nick until we get the new ones. So and there are waiting lists, but I do think we could reduce the waiting time for divorce. That's before you can start it. It's currently 2 years. You have to be living separate and apart before you can apply or start the process. It used to be 4 years until the referendum in 2018, 2019 changed that. But 4 years apart was too long. 2 years, I think, is still a bit too long, because I think if you know the marriage is over, you know within a year whether it's over or not.
But when you say 2 years is too long, you know, most divorces, you know, are not amenable, let's just say, right? So when you say 2 years is too long, sure, it's going to take at least 2 years to get through the system anyway, or more than that to get through the system.
Well, like, you know, divorces can be done loads of ways. The best way to do it is if you can do it
amicably.
It's the cheapest. And you either do that by mediation or maybe by solicitor or lawyer assisted or whatever way you can do it to get to a resolution. You don't need any court help at that point, but you won't be divorced until you apply to court, because in Ireland you have to get a judge to make the divorce. So that means that even if you've agreed everything, you still have to wait a year. Or at the minute, you have to wait 2 years before you even start the process. So say you get married and you know, things don't work out and you decide, OK, we're going to be sensible and adult about it. We've decided what's best for the kids. We've decided a good way to share access and custody. We've decided a fair way to divide up the assets. We've got a bit of advice on it and it seems to be OK. We now have to wait 2 years before we can start the process. You have to be living separate and apart for 2 years. That really puts an awful lot of people's lives on hold. Now, what currently?
But I mean, I don't want to sound very conservative here, but what's the rush? You know what I mean? I understand. I mean, 4 years was a problem. Don't get me wrong, but two years. You know what? What's the, are you going to run out and find somebody else and get married immediately? Well, I mean, what's the kind of rush? I mean, it's really, let's be clear, because divorce literally is only a piece of paper. You know, it's the separation, is the judicial separation.
Yeah, but what you want to do is you want to sort the stuff out. So if you can't get into court to get your agreement ruled or made a divorce, it kind of blocks your life for 2 years. Say, for example, you've a problem with the kids or access and you're a father and you can't get access, or you're a mother and you're not getting maintenance, or somebody is trying to take money and spend it and you want to stop it because you think it should be divided up in the divorce. You can't even get into court to do that with the divorce until the 2 years is up. And what currently the workaround at the minute is you do a legal separation. So you're doing two processes. So a number of people have to start in a legal separation. It's more expensive because it's more legal fees. It's also more time. It's more time for the judges. It's more time for the court offices. So you're doing two things. You're doing first your legal separation because the people who are in urgent need of it usually start that way. And then they turn it into a divorce. But at the minute, you've kind of two systems, a legal separation, which you can go to court in if you're living apart a year, and a divorce, which takes 2 years. And the court statistic shows every year there's 500 or 600 or maybe 700 legal separations go through the courts. In my view, that's a duplicate of all the work. It's duplication. Whereas it should really be a divorce that you're able to do in that period. And I think reducing the waiting time for a divorce from 2 years to 1 year would save all those people who currently are kind of paying on the double or have to do things on the double because their situation is desperate. So there's a number of people. It might be 1,000 couples. It might be 1,500. It could be 800 who would benefit from that change. Now, maybe everyone else wouldn't benefit, but I do think that if we can benefit some of the people in the system, we should try and change it. And I don't think it would lessen or cheapen the value of marriage just because you can get out of it a year after you're apart. I mean, like, society has changed so much since divorce came in the 90s in terms of acceptance of people who are divorced, acceptance that parents can co-parent, acceptance that, you know, that both parents are allowed to go to school and talk to teachers separately or together if they're separated. And, you know, there's an understanding that, look, it's nobody's fault if marriage doesn't work out.
No, it's one of those things.
You know what I mean?
Can I ask another question? You know, I mean, we see in the UK, for example, you get is it a decree absolute. In Ireland, you don't get that. Is it still true? Maybe this is an urban myth of some description. Well, actually, it's not, because I know of a case where it did actually happen, where somebody came back for a second bite of the cherry. Is divorce not full and final in this country?
It's never a completely closed book, and it is theoretically possible to come back and get a second bite.
I know a case where somebody did, because a person had won a substantial amount of money, and they came back 7 years later and got a percentage of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's theoretically possible. Now, the courts are moving to kind of shut that down a lot more in recent years. So there's a definite move towards making it full and final settlement. But the legal position is that it's not completely finished, but it'd have to be something really out of the blue, like potentially that lotto win, maybe.
Or something that wasn't disclosed before the divorce.
Oh, well, then, but that's a kind of a process error or a process. If you mislead somebody in the legal system, there is a possibility that you will be punished for that. And that's only correct. If everyone is supposed to disclose things, they don't, well, there should be a way back. But, you know, say somebody becomes very ill and they may be the parent who's caring for the children, or somebody who is paying maintenance and they're not able to work. Well, of course, they should be allowed to come back and say, well, look, I was able to work and earn this money when I was well, but now I'm unwell. I want to pay, but I can't afford to because my job had let me go or because of whatever. So there's always a way back in terms of things. But generally, the courts are very, very reluctant to reopen things unless it's a really significant or big change.
And the other thing as well is the in-camera rule. I can see the reason why it's there for people's privacy. But from a statistical point of view and looking at how the courts are dealing with systems, it does make it a little bit unfair that, you know, the public or we can't look to see if there's a fair system. Am I saying that correctly? You do understand what I'm saying?
No, you are saying it correctly. And I do agree with you that, if you like, there's a saying that there's no greater disinfectant or antiseptic than sunlight. And letting light into the courts and the courts being in public is a really basic principle of the law. And the more open they can be, the better. The problem is, the reason for the in-camera rule is to protect the identity of people getting separated, but really it's more about protecting the identity of any children involved, so that people, you know, children aren't aware of what's happening in their parents' lives or not reading about it in the papers. And again, you know, there's a lot of coverage in the newspapers, or there was, of couples who weren't married, who are arguing about who owns the house. And that's kind of in public, where it's not a cohabitant, where it's kind of people who aren't who go to the civil courts, and that isn't good. So there's a reason for it. But I mean, you know, the Irish Times are currently have been doing a very good run of stuff on domestic violence, and every Monday or Tuesday there's a kind of an article about what happened in the domestic violence courts. But journalists don't seem to be as interested in reporting what happens in the divorce or judicial separation court. So I would love to see more journalists in there. There is an exception to the in-camera rule that allows journalists to go into courts.
With restrictions, obviously, yeah.
But they have to anonymise it. But that would certainly help. But I mean, the in-camera rule isn't perfect. And I do agree with you that, look, it means that people maybe don't have the confidence they should have in the system always, because they wonder what happens behind closed doors. But I mean,
So just very quickly, we'll go to about five questions here just before we go into a break.
Yeah.
And it says, I'm about to go through this. How does the division of property work in a divorce, especially when one spouse has contributed less financially? So, okay, so man or woman or whoever it is paid more into the mortgage. Yeah. And how does that work in a divorce? Is it always split 50-50, or what happens?
No, it's not always split 50-50. And the basic concept is proper provision. So what do both people and the children need in the circumstances? So the contributions may be a factor, but not the only factor. So, for example, if you have one husband, we'll say the husband is earning maybe 90,000 and the wife is earning 30 or 40,000. You know, obviously, whether the house is sold immediately, if there's children, it's unlikely. It's more likely it'll be probably a deferred
23.
Sale.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, and it may not be until the youngest is 23. It may be a bit earlier, but sometime between 18 and 23. If the house is sold at that point, well, who's going to be paying the mortgage? Who's going to be paying maintenance? So you'd look at those factors. So if somebody maybe gets off lightly on one of those, they might, you know, get a lesser percentage. It also depends on other things, like what kind of pension provision have both people got. Are you going to maybe take a little bit less of the pension and a bit more of the house? What do people want? That's where, if you can negotiate, you get a better choice, whereas the judge is more likely to make a kind of a final decision. But I mean, judges generally wouldn't be selling houses from other people under people where there are children. But it really depends on the people's ability to read houses.
Okay.
So one of the huge problems is the housing market at the minute.
Okay, somebody else wants to know, what happens if one spouse refuses to cooperate during the divorce or separation process? Oh, okay. I suppose let's give an example of that. You know, somebody's looking for a statement of means. The courts are looking for statements of means. They're looking for bank account statements. They're looking for whatever it is normally that you would have to provide. And one person is just couldn't be bothered. I'm not providing them. None of our business.
What happens then is you bring them to court and you try and get an order for costs against them to punish them for not providing the information. But there is a mechanism there to bring them before the courts. The problem is it's a bit slow. It's easier to delay things in the Irish courts than it is to push them on. And we need probably a more streamlined system for it. But there is a current system in place. And it does happen a good bit that people delay. And what you have to do is bring them before the court, and the judge has to say to them, well, look, you have to provide this information. And if you don't do it, I'm going to make an order for costs against you, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And generally, the person will cooperate. So you can be the dog in the manger for a while, but ultimately you'll have to cooperate. And everybody cooperates eventually, even the worst of the worst, in my experience.
Okay, so it probably realistically just delays the whole process and costs people money.
It just delays. Yeah. It causes frustration, but ultimately
and it costs money
to the person.
Yeah,
and it costs money because you're wasting the other person's money on legal fees. And each person usually pays their own legal fees. But also, you may be entitled to legal aid, and you might.
Okay, somebody else wants to know, ask him if there's anything you can do if your ex-wife has broken the in-camera rule on numerous occasions. Maybe there's something very specific going on there.
Yeah, there may be, but I mean, the ultimate, what happens if the in-camera rule is broken, you can go back to the judge who made the order or who heard the case, and you can explain to them the in-camera rule has been broken, and the person will be brought before the court and the judge to explain why it happened. And
I'm assuming that rule, by the way, is not as strict as it probably should be, i.e. people, you know, get out of the divorce, they tell their friends, they tell their mother and father, their brother and their sister what happened. You know, they probably people do those things. I'm assuming that will happen.
Well,
everyone does it.
I imagine. Well, I mean, Well, I don't know, but I mean, I suppose my advice to them is that you can't do it because that's what the law is. So as a lawyer, I can't say people do it or not, but human nature being what it is, you know, people talk. But but also particularly, it's particularly bad in relation to children that, you know, what goes on of what one person said about another person in the family courts, it really shouldn't be repeated because it generally doesn't play well for anyone. So you're better off leaving that aside. Whereas what actually, what amount of maintenance you got or when the house has to be sold, they're more kind of basic things. They're the result of what happened. Do you know what I mean?
I
again, they're covered
by
the in-camera rule, but it's more the blame is the issue. And I think the concern that things are said about children and parents might...
Yeah, I mean, look, if the house is going to be sold, it's not going to be a secret. It's going to be up on some estate agent's website at some point.
Exactly.
So.
And there'll be a for sale sign in the garden.
Absolutely. So, okay, somebody else says, I'm concerned that my spouse may hide assets during our divorce. How can I ensure that everything is disclosed fairly? I suppose, i.e. they might have a secret bank account or a credit union account that they don't know about or they haven't declared and that, and the husband thinks,
much,
I know she has
harder,
that.
Yeah, it's much harder to do that now because everybody has bank accounts and it's all paid via Revolut or whatever. And usually by analysing the bank accounts, you can see where they go from one account to another because you have to fund it from somewhere. You can see where the pay goes. So it's actually way more harder now than it was even 10 years ago. We don't live in as much of a cash economy as we used to, where it was much easier to have cash under the bed or not to put money into a bank account. It's actually a lot more difficult now than it was to do that. Now, you know, some types of business maybe lend themselves to cash that other businesses don't. So people still can do it and they can take advantage of it or they try to maybe have accounts abroad. But generally, if money is going from one account to another, you'll see one of the accounts unless people are incredibly good at it. So it's people can.
Yeah,
do
what
it.
Happens if they have a second bank account or, you know, or the Revolut account, as you mentioned there a minute ago, or a credit union account, and they just haven't declared it in their statement of means? Well, and that might they might have savings in that, you know, of 10 grand or something like that, which is an asset.
Yeah, I mean, if they haven't declared it, it's a difficulty. It could potentially reopen the case. So for the sake of a small amount of money, they could create a huge amount of problems. They're likely, again, potentially to have an order for legal costs made against them. So in some ways, it can be completely counterproductive. But usually there's a kind of some kind of trail, unless they've had 10 grand in that bank account for 4 or 5 years. Usually there's some kind of payment in or payment out, or there's some document. And again, depending on the level of understanding or kind of interdependency of the spouses, sometimes husbands and wives know everything the other person's doing, even when they think they don't.
Yeah.
And again, you know, people leaving their iPads open, knowing people's passwords on computers. You know, people often know a lot more than the other person thinks they know about what's going on in their lives.
Okay. So, I'm pushed for time, Keith. I want to get three more
sorry,
questions
yeah.
in. No, that's okay. I'm worried about what will happen if my spouse refuses to agree to a divorce or separation. What are my options in that situation? Okay, that does happen, I imagine, that the other person won't agree to the divorce. So what do you do then?
Well, if you won't agree to the divorce, you're trying to turn the tide back. The divorce will happen if you're living 2 years apart before it starts, and the legal separation will happen. So you can't ever stop it happening, and you can't put off the evil day. It will come when the judge will have to decide. You're just kind of pushing up your legal costs by putting your head in the sand. People do it, though. Mm.
Somebody else says here, I'm concerned, I'm going to go through a divorce, but I'm concerned that my other half is putting money into his mother's account or our child's account that I don't know about. Okay, so obviously there's cash coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, they believe there is. Okay, so can they get discoveries on accounts? Is that still a thing?
Yeah. It's a discovery against, it's called third party or non-party discovery against another person who isn't part of the case. So that would be the grandmother, but they should be entitled to get the information in relation to the children's accounts if they're the children of the marriage. If they're the children of the husband from a different marriage, again, that would be third party discovery. So there is a mechanism for doing that. You'd probably have to have some basis maybe to prove that you could see money going, but the most effective way is to see the money coming out of one of his accounts and being diverted into that. The difficulty is if he's putting cash in, you'd have to make the application. And
I remember somebody telling me before about this, that if you do it and you get permission off a judge for a discovery and you get it wrong, it's kind of frowned upon. So you have to be 100% sure probably they're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's expensive as well. You know, it slows down the case.
Okay, one final question. I'm cohabiting with my partner 10 years and we have a 9-year-old child together. We are not married and I'm intending to go separate ways. I'm wondering what I need to do to secure my best chances legally with my child. Can you offer any advice?
Yeah, well, there's a cohabitant law from 2010 which gives you protection, but you have to be a qualified cohabitant, which if you're living together for more than 2 or 3 years, which you are with your spouse and or your cohabitant partner, and you have a child. So you qualify initially, but you have to be financially dependent. It's likely there may be a property dispute, some maintenance dispute. So you can apply to the court. In terms of what can you do now, I suppose find out as much as you can about the financial situation of your partner. That's always a good idea, to be aware of what finances they have, if you're able to do that.
All right, well, listen, Keith, we're going to continue the conversation, obviously, with people in relation to divorce itself. But I appreciate you coming on, and you've answered a lot of questions for our listeners. I tell you what, we could spend another hour with the amount of questions that have come in. A lot of them, by the way, are repeats, just in different ways.
Yeah,
I suppose most people do have the same concerns when it comes to divorce. But look, if people want more information or you want to get some legal advice, Keith is available. Keith Walsh, family law solicitor. Best place to find you, I suppose, is on Google, if they Google you, Keith.
That's it. Just you can Google me. Thanks, Niall.
All right. You're so welcome. Keith Walsh, thank you very much indeed. That's Keith Walsh, family law solicitor, if you're looking for any advice there, because he gave loads of advice to the questions that we asked him there tonight. Okay. Now, so let's talk about divorce. Ireland obviously has an increase in divorce rates and separation rates. So do you believe that we try hard enough in this country to stay together for the sake of the kids? Or do you think we get divorced or separated too quickly at the drop of a hat? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0000. Right, let's go to Michelle. We're way behind schedule here. Michelle, hi, how are you?
Michelle, how's it going? Niall, how's it going? Sorry. You're trying to turn my radio down there.
I'd appreciate it if you could. Yeah, you're Michelle, I'm Niall. Although I can be Michelle if you want me to be. We could do the
no, it's okay. Well, I suppose you could be if you want.
Michelle, Irish people, you know, lately, do we take marriage as serious as we should? Do we separate and divorce too quickly and not think of the kids? Should you stay together for the sake of the kids? I mean, what do you think?
I think people nowadays are getting married down to, like, you know, property and stuff like that for, like, legal reasons of ownership of houses and stuff like that. I don't think it's taken as serious as it used to be. Like, it's not our love around like that anymore, I don't think, personally.
Yeah.
Staying together in relation to the kids, no. I don't think kids should be brought up in, you know, volatile homes.
Yeah.
Because it's like the parents are kind of setting examples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if there's friction in the house and bad moods all the time, it's probably not a good place to bring up a child. No.
It's not a nice environment. But I was just listening to Keith there a couple of minutes ago, and I've gone through a divorce. The case is closed now, so it's okay to talk about it. But
you can talk about the fact you had a divorce, but you can't talk about the details too much.
No.
Okay, go on.
I just don't agree with some of the statements I know they weren't statements. I know it was only advice that he was given, but in relation to property and stuff like that, it's saying that, like, the judge doesn't throw people out of houses and stuff like that.
Oh, they do.
They absolutely do.
Of course they do.
Can I talk about my situation? Or?
You can't, unfortunately, because the in-camera, now the in-camera rule lasts forever, unfortunately. So the only thing you're allowed to say is that you got divorced, and you can say you believe you were treated unfairly or whatever else, but you're not allowed to talk about the details of the case.
Okay.
But in relation to generally, inverted commas, generally speaking, people do get turfed out of their houses who have done nothing wrong, for example, in some cases, and people are treated unfairly. Within the court system. And I suppose it's always, my feeling on it is, you know, and somebody said to me once, a barrister, a very good barrister said to me, the one thing that you won't hear in a family law court is the truth. So it's always a case of who's the better liar. Do you know what I mean?
They say that, like, it's based on fact, you know, and then, like, if people produce that fact, the facts aren't really taken on board.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like if something is discussed in the court, say that it's stuff that's not supposed to be said in the court, and they're cut off, but the judge can't unhear what has been said, and some stuff that is said in the courtroom is not fact.
Well, and the other thing I think is quite frustrating for people within the system. You're sitting at home before you get your date for your divorce, and you have your all written out, all your information. You know, he did this to me, she did that to her, whatever. I don't know. He has this account. I know he has that money hidden away. He's earning this much. Yeah, he went on 4 holidays last year, and he's claiming he has no money, and yada, yada, yada. So you have all your notes written out, and you never get to say anything. You don't actually get to say it in court. You never get an opportunity sometimes. Are you there, Michelle?
I'm here, yeah.
Yeah. So, sorry, sometimes you just don't get the opportunity to say what you want to say because you're not given that opportunity. Because the rules of the way the court works.
Yeah, and I think, like, even, like, as far as the legal team, like, your representation, like, you're working with your solicitor for how long it takes, how many amounts of years, months, whatever. And then when it comes to the day in court, you're meeting your barrister on the day.
Yeah.
So the 6 years of documentation there, and you're meeting a barrister and trying to give 6 years
In 20 minutes before a court case.
In 20 minutes.
Yeah.
In 20 minutes, yeah. And then, like, if you're cross-examined on something by their representation, their legal team, and you answer it, it's not taken as fact. Like, they could throw dirt at you that you don't even know that's there. But yet they say that you can only bring fact into a divorce court. But yet there's stuff thrown at you that's not fact and that hasn't been brought up. And then you're judged on something that is possibly life.
Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't matter whether it's true or false. Once the judge hears it, it may have an impact on how the decision is made. And you are right, that is very frustrating for people who are getting their divorce date and their barrister arrives 10 minutes before the case and you're there in a panic trying to tell them everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell them everything.
Yeah.
And to them, it's just a job. To you, it's your life.
Yeah.
Your life.
And then, like you say, prior to the divorce proceedings, like, you know, you could be brought in, like, say, on the Section 42 for, say, like, an example like child neglect or something like that. You're brought in on a Section 42, there's a full investigation into that goes on for 2 years, and then at the divorce proceedings, everything that is fact and proven is not dealt with in the courtroom.
And then the other thing is it delays the whole process as well. Okay, but getting back, generally speaking, do you believe that people divorce too quickly and separate too quickly in Ireland?
Divorce too quickly, maybe not. Split up too quickly, yes.
Okay. Michelle, listen, thank you very much. And good luck, by the way, Michelle. I do wish you well, by the way. You've obviously been through quite a lot. Let me go to David. David, hi, how are you?
Niall, hi. I've done it.
Yeah. Now, don't talk about the specifics of your own case. Please don't talk about the specifics of your own case, because it doesn't matter whether your divorce is finished. It was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. The in-camera rule still applies. Yeah. All you can do is tell me you were divorced and did you think you got a fair hearing or not or whatever. But you can't talk about specifics of the case. But go on. Anyway, David.
No, obviously, I think the Irish courts certainly. I don't think there's any difference in any of the Western countries regarding people flying into marriage too quickly, taking it too lightly, not doing it for the right reasons, etc. All of those things are equally applicable, I think, across most of the Western nations now these days.
Mm. Well, Irish divorce is very different because it was protected by the church. So the church eventually, under duress, agreed to have a referendum on divorce in Ireland. Because, as you know, the church were quite powerful in this country back in 1996.
Yeah, obviously, Henry VIII sorted us out.
Yeah. But the church agreed to a referendum provided divorce wasn't full and final. That's where we differ from the United Kingdom. So in the United Kingdom, you get what they call, after divorce, a decree absolute. And that means that, in other words, your ex-wife or your ex-husband has no right to ever interfere in your life ever again. But that's not the way it works in Ireland. They do have a right. And as I said earlier on to Keith, I heard of a case not too long ago where somebody was divorced 7-8 years, hadn't seen the ex-wife or ex-husband, whichever it be, because I don't want to give too many specifics about the details about the case. But one of them won a substantial amount of money. And, you know, millions. And the other one took them to court, even though they were divorced 7 years, for a percentage of that money, and they won the case and got the money.
Well, I would say that the Irish judges do regard the money as a stick to beat to beat certainly the male with, big time.
I think it would be fair to say, and I've spoken to many people on this, women generally get a better deal in court. Not all of the time, but generally.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. It's because generally women are the carers of the children, and divorce favors children.
One judge I had, he made such a foul remark regarding my mother in court that he recused himself from ever hearing the case again.
Oh wow!
And what he didn't know was that my mother also sat on the bench over in the UK. Anyway.
Back to the original question. Do people get married too soon, too quickly? Do they not really fully think it through?
They get married for the wrong reasons. They don't get married for. I think there's a massive change from. There was certainly in the UK, because of tax reasons or whatever, there was a big push to.
Yeah, for inheritance reasons. Yeah.
Well, not just for that. For getting a, you could get a mortgage and
oh, yeah,
on
okay,
the ladder,
of course, yeah,
and
yeah,
all,
yeah.
All that sort of stuff. All of that sort of stuff was there was a lot of pressure on that. And
by the way, I always thought the tax system was unfair on married couples, particularly when you have a stay-at-home partner, right? So, or it would have been a stay-at-home wife years ago.
I think the tax credit or whatever
should be given to the person working.
Should be.
If you're married to a woman and she's a stay-at-home wife and you're going to work, you should be able to use her full tax credit. But you're not.
But you'll certainly get hit if you do divorce. You couldn't have stuffed any more into your pension using that tax credit or using this, that, and the other to benefit your situation or your joint situation.
Yeah.
They'll land you with a freaking great bill, and they'll take half your pension and hand it over to her.
Absolutely. Do me a favor, stay there for a second. I want to go to Angela before the break. Angela, hi.
How's it going?
Angela, do people take relationships seriously enough?
Nope.
Do they think of the children, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think on that side of things, I think too many people think of the children too much.
In what sense?
In the sense of we have to stay together for the kids.
Well, that's okay if people are amicable. I know a couple, for example, who are living together but living separate lives. And by the way, they get on reasonably okay. They pay their bills together. They have three kids. And the kids are kind of none the wiser. And they're going to a separation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. But the thing of he cheated, she cheated. I'll just forgive him. I'll just forgive her for the sake of the kids. For that, I don't agree with.
No, it doesn't work.
Because
no.
It doesn't work. And if you're cheating, there's a reason for it.
Throw that one out. No, Angela. Yeah, but I see that line. When somebody cheats, there's a reason for it. That kind of gives them an excuse, a kind of get-out clause.
Oh, no, because...
Well, it does when you say there's a reason. No, you have no reason. Well, you've never got a reason to cheat. If you're unhappy, get out of the relationship and tell your wife.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, to this day, I don't know why my husband cheated, because up until the day he left, apparently we were fine. We were grand.
Yeah, and if I talk to him on the air, maybe he might tell me he was miserably unhappy, okay? Maybe he might tell me that. Yeah. I don't bloody know. But if he was miserably unhappy, all he had to do was say, listen, Angela, sit down with a cup of tea here.
And I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm miserably unhappy with you. And let's just separate.
Let's just, do you know what I mean? Separate it.
Yeah.
Or... Niall, what I find and what I found with that is obviously there was a reason that I was completely oblivious to, but I don't think people fight for their marriages anymore.
Mm.
I don't think that they talk like they used to. You know, that you fight and sit down and talk about it and this is what's wrong and I feel this, and now I'm not saying anyone should change, but if you want your marriage to work, somebody has to give. Something has to give. And I just find that it's too easy to walk away now. Well, sorry, it used to be too easy to walk away now, whereas with accommodation, now I think people are just staying because they've nowhere to go. You know, there's nowhere. Like, I have two friends, right? Two of my closest friends will not go into it, obviously, because it's ongoing at the moment. But, like, they're technically homeless. They are registered homeless because they've separated from their wives and they had to move home.
Yeah, the wife got the house and they were dumped out.
Yeah, and it's not fair now.
No, it's not.
It's not.
By the way, the idea that we have a, what they call a no-blame system or no-fault system, right?
Oh, Jesus, that wrecks my head. Yeah.
No, it's irritating. So, because marriage is a contract. If a person breaks that contract, there should be a fault system in there. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. It should be always about the children anyway. But the idea that you would chuck a husband, or indeed a wife, out of a house who's done absolutely nothing wrong, apart from being terrorised and heartbroken by the other person, and you would put them out of the house and leave them homeless, to me is mind-blowing.
I don't understand it. Like, I truly don't. Like, because in a different case, you know, with that, the wife cheated and he refused to go. So they actually had to live in the house for 10 years because she refused to go.
And by the way, just a little tip for people, by the way, if you're having a bad time with your missus and you're having a row and you want a divorce and you're going to go through a separation and all the rest, and she tells you to get out of the house, you know, let's say, I don't know, she's cheated, you've cheated, whatever, and she said, get out of the house. You don't have to go. There's no law that says you have to go unless a judge says it. So, you know, your wife telling you to get out of the house or husband, whichever way around it happens to be, is not a reason for you to leave.
No. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's horrible that if a woman cheats and they split up, he still has to go. According to the wife. No, you leave. Mm. I'm staying here with the kids. It's excuse my language now. It's a fucking disgrace in this country the way men are treated.
Mm.
When something like that happens. And that's why I'm saying nobody seems to, like, it's okay, listen, we're not getting on, fight a lot, blah, 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 good luck. That seems to be a lot of it.
Okay, well, hang on, Angela, because I've got to take a break. Stay with me, Angela. I want to come to Darianne and John after the break. So he texts, no, can I come on and talk about my divorce? No. You can come on and talk about the ramifications of your divorce or the results of your divorce. In other words, how it left you. Like Angela mentioned, two of her friends had become homeless or whatever it is. But you can't talk about what happened inside the courtroom. Who said what or who said this or who said that. I know people do be dying to get on the radio. I was in court and he bleeding lied. He lied, said he didn't have any money and he did. And all that. You know, I'd love to have you on the air to say all those things, but you can't. Anyway, but you can talk about the ramifications. You're allowed to discuss the fact you had a divorce and how difficult it was, the ramifications of that and how it left you afterwards. But you can't talk about what happened within the court there or the boundaries of the court itself with the judge. Anyway. All right, stay there for a second, Angela. Let me go to Darianne. Darianne, hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, Niall. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm okay. But mind you, I did mention earlier on, I got a cough and a blocked nose, a bit of a cold over the weekend to add to everything I already had. I said if they were a horse, they should shoot me if I was a horse. Anyway.
And come here, can I ask you something quickly? Was the Lyme's disease definitely...
Yes, positive, yeah.
Oh, God.
And the EBV, both positive. So I'm on antibiotics at the moment.
Sorry to hear that.
There's my antibiotics. I had to take one at 10 o'clock. I'm on antibiotics for the Lyme disease for 3 weeks. And then the other one, which is viral, the EBV should go away on its own. Anyway.
Well, I hope definitely that clears everything up because there's nothing so horrible.
Yeah. Anyway, Darianne, and do people take relationships seriously enough and stay together for the sake of their kids, or should they stay together for the sake of their kids?
No, I don't think they should stay together for the sake of the kids because I didn't. And it worked out really brilliant that I didn't stay together. But what I will say is before there was divorce in Ireland, I was very aware of different situations of divorce in England. And it seemed like you could wake up, go to work, you know, meet somebody on the way home, fall in love, and then go home and say, I want a divorce, and you get one.
Yeah.
And that definitely was the way in the UK for a long, long time.
Yeah, it's easier in the UK to get a divorce, much easier.
Yeah, but that's what stopped us in Ireland. You know, I believe the fact that we couldn't do that.
Yeah, but there was a problem in Ireland going back 30, 40 years ago where men and women stayed together in a marriage that was futile. I may be beating seven shades of shite out of each other, but they still stayed together because there was no such thing as divorce. Well, they could have got separated, I think, after the 70s. The only other thing was a papal annulment or something like that. And that wasn't given out. That was given out very rarely. So there was no way of actually legally doing it. They just left each other. And if you went back to 1960, if a couple separated, they were it was like a shameful thing.
Well, in my day, and I was in the late 80s when my marriage broke up, and it was still shameful, because I know it was shameful in the school where one of my kids went to school, and we weren't allowed to send my son on an Italian trip because we were told we were separated and we probably didn't have the money.
Oh.
And, you know, yeah, there was a lot of stuff. But anyway, that's water under the bridge. But I'm delighted you brought the subject up tonight, because I've just learned something that I didn't know. I never got to court when my divorce went through.
Hmm. So what and happened? So that, what just happened on paper, essentially?
No, it happened because I wasn't made aware of it till 10 o'clock the night before that I should have been in court, and I couldn't get to court.
Oh.
And then...
So it happened in your absence?
Yes, and it was accepted and it went through. But now, no, it's okay, because you've just given me... I didn't know. I knew
but
I
surely,
heard
But surely, Derianne, like the division... I don't want to go too much into the details of your own divorce
no,
case.
It's okay.
But surely,
it's okay.
Surely the division of assets and... You know, maintenance and all that kind of stuff had to be discussed at some point.
But it never was. And I never, ever, ever got one penny of maintenance. But what I will say, you say about the ramifications of it?
Oh, ramifications, yeah.
Yeah. That happened way back when I knew, when I found out. And a niece of mine brought me to a solicitor. And I now understand, oh my God, they hadn't a clue, because I was told there was no point going in the next week for when the pension was coming up, not mine, because I didn't have one. And I know now, and I always thought I should have just gone into the court anyway and stood up and said, look, I'm sorry, I wasn't here last week because X, Y, and Z. But
I don't think you can do anything about it. I think the only thing you can do then is hire a solicitor. And you could appeal a divorce decision, but that would have to be to the High Court.
Yeah, but the solicitor said no. And
you know what? He was probably right, because unfortunately, to go to the High Court would cost you so much money, it wouldn't be worth it.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, the ramifications of it all was I ended up rearing the two kids on my own.
With no money, financially help. No financial
help.
Yeah,
as a single mother. And I'm very proud to say that I did it. And when my daughter was 12, she turned around to me one day and said, Mom, so glad you separated from Dad, because you're such different people. Now, they have, I don't know what relationship they have, but I never... poisoned them against him, because
that's a good thing. It doesn't matter how much or how you feel about your ex. You should never turn your children against your ex.
No, and I didn't. And she said that anyway, and that was grand.
Okay, well, hang on a second, because I need to go back to Angela and to John again. Stay there, Derianne, if you want. Angela, I've never heard of a case like that where somebody wasn't even there for their own divorce. I've heard of people not there for their own wedding, but for their own divorce, not there. You know, unfortunately, some people get a raw deal in a divorce, Angela. You mentioned your two friends who were homeless, and there's not a lot that can be done. I mean, the system is just a mess.
Oh, it is a mess. I wasn't there for my divorce.
Were you not?
No.
Yeah, but I'm assuming everything was decided before the divorce.
Everything, we had a legal separation.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then, if you had a legal separation, you don't have to be there for the divorce.
No. And I was like, no point. What's the point?
The divorce is literally only the piece of paper. The legal separation is where all the work is done.
Yeah. Once everything is agreed on, that's it.
Yeah. That's it.
You know, there's no need to go and see people again, you know. But what were you asking me then?
Do you think the system is fair?
No, of course it's not.
Mm.
It's absolutely not. Because, like...
But how can it be fair when people lie, generally?
Exactly not.
Yeah. It's difficult for the system to be fair when people go in and deceive and don't tell the truth, generally.
Well...
It's a matter of who tells the most amount of lies.
Well, I think if you can categorically and absolutely prove that your partner has cheated on you, then they shouldn't be able to walk away with half.
No, I agree.
You know, like, I could, beyond reasonable doubt, absolutely, I could have proved that my...
Of course, you had photographs.
Yeah, of course, I had the photographs, you know, that he took himself. So I could have done that. Now, we were...
Just very quickly, because I have to go to John. I've got 3.5 minutes there. Go on.
Just, I just think it shouldn't, they should stop favouring women.
Okay, let's stay there for a second. Let me go to John. John, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Hey.
How are you?
How are you?
Good. John, what do you think of divorce in Ireland? Are we too quick to get it sorted, to, you know, to separate?
Yeah, I'm divorced 3 years now on the 1st of April, April Fool's Day, of course. But I met my wife, we met up in 1979 before the Pope, and we had 40 very good years. But our problem was, as we got older, we didn't communicate. Alcohol took its toll on the family. I have 3 children, the 2 in the 80s.
Are you telling me you drank too much?
Yeah, but communication was the thing. I give up cigarettes. I put on 3.5 stone. I started snoring. Okay. I had to go.
Let's not get too personal into your own divorce, because I did say that already. We don't want to talk about why your relationship broke down and you and your missus and everything else. Okay.
Basically, I believe we in Ireland, we don't fight hard enough. We don't communicate enough. And we went to a mediation, and we never really were educated. We definitely weren't educated on sex. I don't know if that's happening yet. Really, our relationship could have been an awful lot better. No, we were really in love right up to the...
Again, you're going back into your own relationship. You know,
Niall, can I say something before you end?
Yeah, just very quickly, Gerry-Ann, because I'm running out of time.
Yeah, I just want to say, I believe that signing a prenup is absolutely should be done. And going back, if I had a chance, I would have done. No,
That's a topic for another night, and I understand why you would say that. But I'm one of those people who believes... If somebody, hang on, Darian. If somebody said to me, I love you and I'd like to marry you, but I'll tell you what, before we go down the aisle, could you just sign this here so you don't get me car or me house after we divorce? I tend to piss off.
Yeah, well, you see, then I would have had the chance to do that in my day.
Yeah, but you walk up, you never walk up the aisle thinking you're going to get divorced. If you are thinking of that, you shouldn't be getting married.
What? No, but that's not the point. It should just be part of something that you do.
In Ireland, prenups are not recognised legally.
No,
but,
I know that.
But, if you do have a prenuptial agreement from another country, or you do have a prenuptial agreement made with a solicitor, which you can do, the judge can read the prenuptial agreement and take into consideration the conscious declaration that you both made. So, sorry, by the way, Angela, do you believe the prenup should be an Irish thing?
No. No, but I do think that every person should have their runaway money.
Yeah, well, you see, I agree with that too, Angela, and I never did, and I'm sorry about that.
I didn't either. My biggest regret.
Yeah, most people don't.
Yeah.
Listen, Angela, Darian, and John, listen, thank you very much. Sorry, John, I couldn't go back to you there, I didn't have time.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.